Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Earlier, I was telling you about the AstraZeneca vaccine. Some African countries have now also stopped with the vaccinations. We've seen that across Europe. What exactly is the situation and how safe are the vaccines? Joining us on the line this morning is Dr. Buthumelo Semeta Makokotlela, the Chief Executive Officer at the South African Health Product Regulator. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Right. Great to speak to you. So much confusion around this. You know, and when I see this, when I see the numbers, even in terms of AstraZeneca, as a layperson, I think, well, surely it's worth it. Look how many people are being are ill. Look how many people are dying across the world. So it is quite confusing. Can you give us a sense of how safe the vaccines are?
So, I mean, the vaccines so far in terms of any adverse effects following immunization across the world that we've seen is that you do have the typical symptoms that you would have like after you've had any other vaccination, you know, a little bit of tiredness, soreness on the arm, etc. You do have those instances wherein we are picking up side effects that, you know, are not expected. But in those cases, there's a lot that's still happening to determine what we call causality, wherein the studies and assessments being done to say was the side effect linked to, you know, someone being immunized with the vaccine or was it related to something else. So, and I heard in your brief you spoke about the AstraZeneca vaccine where some of these side effects are starting to be seen in Europe, and these are the studies that are happening now to look at the causality.
Right. And of course, that's critical. I mean, it's very, very important to know. It wouldn't be the first time that a new medication or relatively untested medication has had an impact on some people without being able to anticipate it. But how do you get to, how do we decide this? Because if we look at, you know, is there a specific measure? In other words, if we say, right, for every 1,000 people, if 2 people have an adverse reaction, that's going to be a problem? Or do we need 10 people to have an adverse reaction to it? How does it work?
This continues to be, you know, areas of development. And again, it depends on the actual vaccine. And as you know, these vaccines are relatively new in terms of the for prevention of COVID-19. And so it does require sometimes that we've got, you know, quite a significant amount of data for us to be able to determine that. So because these are still, you know, at early stages sort of thing, all of that data is being put together across the world. And we'll get to a point where that can be determined. But in essence, you know, you would monitor, you know, each case by case. So every country has put in place mechanisms to collect these and study each of the, you know, any side effects that are not, you know, general ones that are expected and study them in detail.
Right. So, and what are we finding in terms of if we look across the board with the Johnson & Johnson, and I know that friends of mine that have had the Johnson & Johnson, some of them had very little reaction. Some of them mm-hmm. actually were quite ill for 24 mm-hmm. hours, but then it went away and it was, you know, it wasn't, I don't know if it would be considered an adverse reaction. They had a reaction to it, which they were in fact quite mm-hmm. happy about because they said, all right, I'm mounting an immune response to it, so
exactly.
So that's cool. But what are we seeing?
Yeah, I mean, so far in the country, because of the you know, the J&J phase 3B implementation study that's ongoing, we haven't seen, besides having the 1 or 2 individuals that they picked up which they're still doing further assessment on, we're picking up those general ones wherein you get the vaccine, your arm is sore, or you feel a bit sick on the day, but the next day you feel better. And indeed, it is because your body is responding then to that vaccine. But with the J&J one, you're not picking up any major side effects that, you know, cause concern. And you know that we've now authorized the Pfizer vaccine, so we were opening.
Right. And that's pretty normal as well, that people have some reaction. And I also note that there seems to be some kind of a requirement that people hang around after having mm-hmm. received the vaccine for a period. Is that to ensure anaphylactic reaction to it?
Yeah, so that's to ensure that, you know, the individuals can be monitored in a short space of time and see if there's any, you know, anaphylactic reaction. I mean, the individuals are also asked if they're, you know, are allergic to anything or, you know, have immune hypersensitivity, etc. So it is just to monitor.
Right, right. What is your feeling at the moment? I mean, it's not really about feeling, but where do you think the world is going to go with AstraZeneca?
We're still collecting a lot of data across the world, and you know, it's the situation in South Africa. So it will be a vaccine that would be monitored. We've seen that some countries have stopped their rollout. But again, I mean, a lot of the pharmaceutical companies are continuously in development, where there's, in this case, I would assume that AstraZeneca itself is looking into it. I know when we spoke to them around the variants in South Africa, you know, they are looking at variants, you know, specific vaccines, all the pharmaceutical companies. I mean, even Pfizer, you may have seen also earlier in the month, Moderna indicated that they're developing their second generation.
Right,
so there's
right.
continuous development as we get, you know, more clinical data.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's, look, I think it's remarkable what the world has managed to achieve. A lot of my listeners, as I'm seeing the message line, saying, well, why are we being used as guinea pigs? Well, you know what? I'm saying, pick me. I'm happy to be used as a guinea pig anytime. I think that, I think it's absolutely remarkable what we've achieved, in the world of medical science. I think that this is something that shouldn't be underappreciated, that, the speed that to think than March last year when we went into lockdown, when it started happening, and that a year later there are a number of vaccines. Yes, we don't really have them. That's enough of them, and that's a separate gripe that I have. But let's not. I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at the fact that we have managed to achieve a range of vaccines. I think is absolutely remarkable and a testament to just such incredible commitment and professionalism.
One question we've received is, why has the development been so fast? You know, and the key reason really is around the fact that a lot was done in parallel. So whereas in the past, you know, all of this would be done sequentially, we would wait for, you know, phase one data, analyze it, get phase two data. A lot of this time was done in parallel, therefore enabling, a much quicker review and evaluation.
Yeah, and I think absolutely amazing. I am going to leave it there because the line isn't a great one. Dr. Buthumela Semeti Makokotlela, Chief Executive Officer at the South African Health Products Regulator. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us, and just keep doing the amazing work that you are doing.